Hello, everybody. I'm Sean, and welcome back to the Croc Time Podcast, delivering weekly updates on markets and geopolitics, providing you with valuable insights and unique perspectives on events and trends shaping the world. In today's episode, we'll talk about the railway mania of the 1840s that gripped the United Kingdom and Ireland and ended with a massive bust. This event, unknown to many people, can be compared to more recent financial market bubbles, such as the dot-com and the AI mania. And this is exactly what we'll do today. Ready? Great, so let's cut to the chase. Wagonways, or wooden rails, transported by horses, have been used from the 1550s onwards throughout Europe. They facilitated the transportation of ore from mines. From Central Europe, they were then introduced to England, where they became even more popular throughout the decades. The world's oldest operational railway was built in 1758 and is located in modern-day Leeds. The introduction of steam engines from the 1750s led to a large increase in British iron ore production. Metal rails quickly substituted all of the pre-existing wooden rails. In fact, it improved their durability and load-bearing ability. Railways expanded and started carrying passengers, in addition to products and ore. As the Industrial Revolution picked up pace and the Napoleonic Wars led Britain to invest ever more in iron and steel production for war, the importance of railways drastically increased. The modern railway system was invented in Britain and then exported to the rest of the world. British engineer Thomas Brassey is credited with the railway's expansion throughout Europe and the world. His construction crews employed tens of thousands, and his company is credited with the invention and improvement of railways. Roadways, tunnels, and bridges were all used for railways while he worked throughout the world. The world's first modern intercity railway, the Liverpool and Manchester, was opened in 1830. It was a smashing success in transporting passengers and goods. The Great Western Railway was opened in 1833 and connected London to Bristol. But in the late 1830s and early 1840s, Britain's economy started to slow down. Interest rates rose and government bonds became more attractive. Huge sums of money to build railways dried up quickly, while social and political unrest was brewing throughout society. In 1840, Britain became a free trade economy. It had been a mercantilist economy before, with high trade tariffs to protect domestic industries. This was most evident with the repeal of the 1846 Corn Laws, which had imposed high tariffs on imported corn. Grain prices fell, and food became plentiful. However, Ireland during the decade experienced one of the worst famines in history. By the mid-1840s, Britain's economy was improving and manufacturing was growing once again. The Bank of England cut interest rates and government bonds became less attractive. The shares of existing railway companies rose as they moved record amounts of goods and people. The Industrial Revolution created a booming middle class. While businesses previously relied exclusively on banks for financing, rich aristocrats now moved in to invest in companies. The growing middle class now had savings they could directly invest. In addition to all of this, in 1825, the government repealed the Bubble Act. This act had been initiated in 1720 after the South Sea Bubble and put limits on the formation of new business ventures and limited the amount of investors in joint stock companies. During the entire decade of the 1840s, railways were portrayed as the investment for the future. Nothing could go wrong for railways as they would continue to improve and move more and more goods and people around. Newspapers, which became more popular during the period, and the emergence of the stock market made it easy for companies to promote themselves and for the general public to invest in them. Railways were so heavily promoted that thousands of investors put their entire savings in railway stocks. The British government's new free trade market and non-regulation of railways made it incredibly easy to set up new companies. Almost anyone could form a company, gain investment, and submit a bill to Parliament for the construction of a new line. Members of Parliament were also heavy investors in railway stocks and approved almost anything that passed their way. As with other bubbles, the railway mania became a self-promoting cycle based purely on overly optimistic speculation. Dozens of railway companies were formed and began operating. However, many of the companies had absurd railway line plans. As investors realized this, the Bank of England raised rates in 1845, and banks started shifting investments into bonds. Money started flowing out of railway stocks, first slowly and then all of a sudden. The railway boom turned into a railway bust. Investment stopped virtually overnight, and numerous companies had no more funding. Many middle-class families lost their entire savings when the bubble popped. The railway bust led to the Panic of 1847, which was a major British commercial and banking crisis. While the crisis was initially triggered by the government announcement of borrowing to pay for relief for the famine in Ireland, it was largely associated with the railway mania. As the railway bust continued, George Hudson, who owned the Great Western Railway, bought up strategic fail lines for pennies and expanded his network. He became Britain's railway king, and by 1849, he controlled 30% of the country's lines. But Hudson and his company manipulated funds and did away with accounting. In fact, his system collapsed in the later days of the bubble, but the company managed to continue its operations until 1947. The railway mania was by many measures the greatest technology mania in history, and its collapse was one of the greatest financial crashes. A revolutionary new technology combined with the artful manipulation of public perception caused a collective hallucination that made investors ignore all other considerations. At the bubble's height, investors were pouring twice as much into the construction of railways than the nation was spending on their military. The peak year for spending was 1847, when in current-day dollar terms, investors put in over $1 trillion. What made this bubble even more spectacular was the amount of illustrious names involved. Famous literary and scientific people such as Charles Darwin, John Stuart Mill, and the Bronte sisters, as well as prominent politicians such as the famed Robert Peel, all got involved. Unlike other famed bubbles, some good came out of this one. A vast expansion of Britain's railway system began. While there were numerous fraudulent, impractical, and dubious schemes and scams, there were also many good projects. A total of 10,000 kilometers of railway was built from the projects approved between 1844 and 1846. Just for comparison reasons, the modern-day UK railway network has around 18,000 kilometers of lines. The railway bubble of the 1840s can be compared to the dot-com bubble of the early 2000s and the current AI mania gripping markets in 2024. All of these were driven by excitement and enthusiasm for new technologies. While the current AI mania is still continuing, the railway and dot-com bubbles serve as cautionary tales of irrational exuberance. These bubbles were related to fundamental changes in the economy, but sometimes unrealistic expectations surrounding the companies involved can cause significant financial losses. While the dot-com bubble exploded from the year 2000 onwards, people who believed in the internet were right. It has fundamentally changed the world forever. But maybe it didn't change the world as many people had expected. General Electric and Cisco were not the companies of the future. NVIDIA, the software company leader in AI computing nowadays, might seem like the company to beat today, but will it remain on top or will somebody else take its crown? AI is a fundamental and groundbreaking technology which can enhance productivity and change our world forever. However, we're still in the early innings, and a lot can change from here on out. So let's keep our eyes out open and see whether the trend can continue or if we smell a bubble forming. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Croc Time. Please leave a review and follow me wherever you get your podcast, and I'll be back next time with more insightful research.